I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and talk about that a little bit. Remember, I've been in school, and I've been studying it some, and maybe even write a little book on it one of these days, a little booklet. So I've been pretty enthused about it. The Hebrews chapter 11, we'll look at that in just a minute. And ask yourself a question. What do you think faith is that's spoken of here? Just think about that a little bit. Okay, so a wonderful thing indeed, more than we can imagine even. And kind of an introduction, I won't turn here, but I'm going to read you a verse. I'll come back close to here later, but it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. What do you think they're talking about? We walk by faith and not by sight. That's exactly what the people did in Hebrews chapter 11. They walked by faith and not by sight. That's an amazing thing when you get to thinking about it. We can't imagine what that's like, really. Now, first of all, I'm going to talk about where we get faith, and then it's amazing grace that we've got. I hope you'll be enthused tonight when I get through. Kenneth and I got pretty happy today. We would see such a nail. We got to discuss this on the way out there. Got just really lifted up, even thinking about it. But let's go, first of all, and show you where faith comes from. It's a gift of God. I'll quote a verse, then I'm going to turn to a verse. I'm going to go to 2 Peter. You might want to go to 2 Peter. But I'm going to go to, I'll quote you a verse in just a minute also. Now, there's two ways in the Bible the word faith is used. Sometimes you talk about the body of truth. That is just practically a synonym of the Bible, the truth that's in the Bible. That's what you talk about over in Jude. It says we must earnestly contend the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's talking about the body of truth. But I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about the grace of faith. It's a spiritual faculty that we have. That when we're born again, we get faith. It's almost a synonym with eternal life. Faith is so strong, such a great grace, it's almost a synonym with eternal life. And we can't imagine how thankful we ought to be to have the gift of faith. I'm going to read you a couple of definitions in a few minutes that you probably won't surprise you. They're good definitions, but I've kind of got a fresh view of it. But if you'll look at this, first of all, I'll mention this lots of times. I don't mind doing it again. The 2 Peter, faith is a gift of God. Now, let me quote you Ephesians 2, first of all. For by grace you are saved, and grace is unmerited favor. It's something you don't do anything to get grace at all. It's unmerited favor. To see the contrast in grace and works, you got to go to Romans 11:6. In Romans 11:6, he said it can't be by faith and works both. You can read that. I won't quote the verse to you, but you can read that verse. It can't be a combination. It's impossible to have a combination of grace and works. Lots of people say, I believe in salvation by grace, but you've got to do something. And when you say but, you've messed it up. It's not grace anymore. There's no works whatsoever in grace. And we work after we have been born again. After we've been given grace, you do nothing at all to get faith, to get this, it's entirely by grace. And Paul makes that so plain, it's hard to be misunderstood over Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Then he says, through faith. And what that means is when God calls you to be born again, he gives you faith. That's what they're talking about. For by grace you say, through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Let me quote that verse again. So a basic verse, a great verse. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. That's how you're saved. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, we do have faith when you're saved, but he gives you that in regeneration. For by grace you say, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Peter makes that real plain about how we get faith in 2 Peter chapter 1. I've mentioned this to you lots of times. I'm going to write a little book one of these days on Greek words, I think. Just a few Greek words, not a whole lot of them. But some of them are so wonderful, they just need to be shared with people. This is one of those words. This is in chapter 1 of verse 1. I'm going to give you this verse, then I'm going to skip down to verse 5, and then I'm going to come and explain verse 1. So listen to me carefully. Because really, some of these verses are parenthetical. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge. And then he mentions several other graces to add to faith. But you don't add faith, you just add to your faith. So faith is the basic gift you get in salvation. But you add to faith. But he said in verse 1 there, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. If you've even heard me say this a lot of times, get this down pat, don't forget this, what I'm fixing to say to you right now. That word obtained means given by divine allotment. It's given by divine allotment. With no cooperation on the part of the person who received it. That's exactly what even the liberals say, because they're honest with their Greek words. I've got a full definition. I won't read it to you right now. It'll take too much time. But this word, lankano, never has any effort applied. The individual that gets this, they're totally passive. There's no cooperation. It's amazing, isn't it? Because a lot of people say, we've got to cooperate with God to get saved. He's calling us to be saved, but you've got to cooperate with Him. You can't cooperate with God because you're dead in trespasses and sins. When God gives you faith, then you cooperate with Him because you've got life. If you don't have life, you get faith. Faith is almost a synonym with spiritual life. Appears almost just practically a synonym with spiritual life. It's the basic gift we get in salvation. Every child of God has the gift of faith. It said in Romans 10, faith by hearing. It says faith cometh by hearing, but the word cometh is not in the original. You look that up and you're writing down, you can't even if you got one with you. It's in the italics. Faith by, and what that means, I think, is faith is manifested by hearing. When you hear the word of God, the faith that's in you comes out. That's what they're talking about in Romans chapter 10. Faith by hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, if you're born again, you're going to respond to that basic gift of faith that you have in your heart. So that's what I want to say about that. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. And it's just wonderful here. And I want to try to give you a definition of faith, and I hope that this will be a blessing to you like it had been to me. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And read you a few definitions. I'm not going to be able to do it justice, I'll tell you that right now. I wish I could. But I'm going to do the best I can, though. And I hope you'll be enthused. Y'all be enthused. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ tonight? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? How come you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you really? I'm asking you a question. Everybody asks yourself that question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, do you? Well, how can you possibly do that? How do you even know He exists? How do you know He even exists? And I'm going to show you how that happens. Let's look before we go to Hebrews 11. Look over in First Peter chapter 1. Now you think about this. You know in your heart if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God or not, if you really love Him. And by the way, this is very important because we need this very much all the time, but especially when we're going through hard times. I'm amazed to see the faith of some of the people in our church who've gone through hard times, and how this faith is holding them up. Brother Reggie right now, we know Brother Reggie's kind of a fearful type individual, but I'm amazed to see him grow. I was amazed to hear Brother Sifton talk today about how that she even has Parkinson's. She's had almost unbearable pain for 2 years. But it's amazing. And Martha talked to her today. And people like that are amazing to be the way they talk. It's not normal for people to talk that way as far as the world is concerned. It's because they've got faith. Now, let me say this about Peter. In 1 Peter, if you'll notice this very carefully, read the book, you'll see I'm talking about it. It's delivered in a time of persecution. This is exactly like is true in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is written to people who were Jews who had become Christians, and they were under a lot of pressure to go back to their old way because the Jews hated Christianity. And so they were under a lot of pressure to go back. A lot of them were being persecuted. And that's the whole thesis of the book of Hebrews. It's the same as true of both Peters, both 1st and 2nd Peter, in the context of persecution. But there's a lot of joy in these books also. There's lots of joy in Hebrews. There's lots of joy in 1st and 2nd Peter. Isn't it amazing, isn't it? The circumstances are not good, but there's something that gives those people tremendous joy. There's something real to those individuals. Something real to them. Can't be seen with the senses, but there's something real to them. Now look over here. If you love you said you loved Jesus Christ, some of you did. Hopefully all did. If you really love Jesus Christ, here's how you love Him. I love this. Now remember this. In the Bible, the word believe and faith is the same thing. It's the same thing. Belief, well, it's three Greek words. Pistis, pistio, and pistos. One of them is faithful, one of them is faith, one of them is I believe. They're the same, it's the same word group. So no difference between faith and belief. Faith and belief is the same thing. So we see we're going to look at the word believe right here in 1 Peter 1:8. Look at this now. Talking about Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll start in verse 7. Talking about people having a real hard time. In fact, I think I'll start in verse 5 because it's just this is a good place to start. You're kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. That's how you're kept, by the way. The Bible's full of the subject. I'm going to be scratching the surface tonight. You're kept, guarded by faith. That's what's guarding you. I've got to just get a running start here. I've got to say something before we get to Hebrews 11. You know, another scripture I like to quote a whole lot is this one. It's 1 John 5:4. So think about 1 John 5:4. These all work together. And stay here in Peter. This all fits together. You know, you say, well, I probably won't overcome, but you are going to go overcome. You may not know what overcoming is all about. See, we may have a false view of what overcoming is because sometimes people get guilty when they have some weak moments. And we ought not be weak, but we are weak sometimes, and God knows that. Like I read last week, even in Psalm 103, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth we're dust. And if Father pities his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. But we even know in the Bible, we see individuals who are strong in faith who had left it to faith, don't we? We say that, don't we? Don't we say that? Peter had left his faith, didn't he? That time he denied the Lord, he had left his faith. But even the father of the faithful, Abraham, had left his faith. It's amazing. It's, to me, it just blows my mind about Abraham. He's the father of the faithful, and he had a tremendous gift of faith, and God talked about that, but even he had some left his faith. Not one time, you think about this, not one time, you think one time of a cured him. But that's what we think about ourselves also, isn't it? Sometimes I make a mistake, and I overcome it and say, I'll never make that mistake again. But guess what? Sometimes I do make that mistake again. I don't want to. That's why the Bible said we must take heed when we think we stand, lest we fall. But not on one occasion, on two occasions, Abraham lied about his wife, said she's my sister, because he's afraid she's such a beautiful woman that the people in these strange lands he went to were going to kill him to take her to be their wife. And he could have really compromised her virtue if it had not been for God delivering him. Abraham even had left his faith. But even saying all that, brothers and sisters, we're overcomers. And what, you know what I mean by overcomer? I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to show you in 1 John in a minute where I quote that scripture. I hope you want to be an overcomer, because sometimes you think you're not going to make it. But if we're born again, let me tell you this, we're never going to totally lose our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to prove it to you before I get through. We'll never totally lose our faith in Jesus Christ. Never will do that. We may deny him like Peter did temporarily, but we're not going to radically and fundamentally deny Jesus Christ and lose our belief. We're not going to lose faith. We can't. It's impossible to do that. For one thing, faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's also in Galatians 5.22 for y'all who are writing scriptures now. Galatians 5.22 says faith is the fruit of the Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit never leaves a child of God. So we never do totally lose our faith in Jesus Christ. There's a difference in the way an individual who is born again lives and responds to the world, those who are not born again. So we're overcomers. But you say, Brother Zach, I can't overcome. I know you can't. I didn't say you could overcome by yourself. I never said that. But here's how you can overcome. Look at 1 John 5.4. Grab a hold of this and enjoy it. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's a great word, isn't it? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen, if you're born again, there's something so strong in you, you can't imagine how strong it is. Nothing can quench what's in you. Nothing can do that. That's why the martyrs, who were maybe weak people in themselves, they died martyrs. Because they had faith in their souls. They had faith in their hearts. He got a place there. You may even surprise yourself sometime what you'll do when God does stir your faith up. So I want to encourage you. But what you ought to do, though, me? You'll do everything you can to build your faith up. You'll do everything you possibly can. We need to hear the Word of God as often as we can, because to again quote in Hebrews 10, the one I quoted a while ago, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith strengthened, be under the sound of the gospel and be reading the Bible and feed your faith. We'll do everything we can. But brothers and sisters, you won't ever lose your faith. Now let's go back here now to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 5 again. Her kept guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now if you think about this, the situation these people were in, and the situation some of you are even in, getting older and sicker and stuff like that, things happening. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're heavy because you have manifold temptings. We don't know what, my friend, we're going to face before we leave this world. None of us do. We don't know what kind of difficult times, unexpected things will happen to us before we leave this world. Lynn Bruce has got the gift of faith. She never thought she'd be going through what she's going through now. But she's having a wonderful testimony because of the faith that God placed in her heart. So look at this. She's in manifold temptation, heavy temptations right now. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Isn't that what? Greatly rejoice? Don't you like that? Isn't that wonderful? Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the trial of your faith. Friends, God wants to try our faith, because when He tried our faith, it gets stronger. I don't want to have hard times, but when they do come, let's receive them as a gift from God, as it were, that God's letting this come to my life, that my faith may be strengthened. My faith may be strengthened. That the trial of your faith, get this, not just the faith itself, that's a precious gift, but look at this. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire. You think about that. Isn't that a great verse? This verse just blow my mind. This Bible is a wonderful book, isn't it? Only God could have written a book like this. You can squeeze these verses. You can get so much sweetness out of these verses. It's incredible, isn't it? That the trial of your faith, think about that. That the trial of your faith means much more precious than gold that perisheth. Now, if an individual doesn't have faith, friends, all they want is that gold that perishes. They want all the gold they can get. I was talking to Timothy today about William B. Tanner, who's the advertising executive that died a few months ago. And I was amazed to read about how he left this world. He was sick. He had bad cancer. But you know what he spent the last 2 or 3 months? Winning and dealing. Buying companies. Selling companies. Making more and more money. Had no concern whatsoever for his soul. Isn't that amazing? That's the only kind of life he knew. Probably didn't have a gift of faith. Almost certainly didn't have a gift of faith. I don't know. I didn't know his heart. But that's what people do. What is there? That's all there is for people who don't have faith. Anyway, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, instead of all that, to get down to verse 8, I asked you a while ago, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Look at this verse. Whom had he not seen? Think about this. You have never seen him. We've never seen Jesus Christ. But I believe he exists more than I believe I exist. Isn't that good? I have no doubt, my friend, that Jesus Christ exists. And I hope all of you feel the same way. It says, who, having not seen, ye love. Isn't that amazing? The first time I memorized that, I'd shed tears every time I quote that verse from the first few months after I memorized that verse the first time. What a sweet verse that is. Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, here's our word, yet believing, there's your faith, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Faith's a great gift, isn't it? Isn't it a great gift? Let's go to Hebrews 11 now. Let's go to Hebrews 11. And I'm going to read you, I can't go too much overtime here, but I'm going to read you a few definitions. I want you to think about these. Let's read the first three verses. And we'll see where we can go from here. Now you think about this verse 1. I'm going to read you some things that have really excited me. This kind of gives a definition of faith in verse 1. Let me say before I do the verse 1, look at verse 6 first of all, because I won't get down that far, but I want to say this about it. This is the best practical outworking and definition of faith than the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. This is really simple. We can all understand this. But look at verse 6 first, then I'll go back and get verse 1. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So that's how can an individual who's not born again even please God? They don't even have faith. They can't please Him. They can't please Him until they've been given the gift of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Then He gives this wonderful definition. Here's what faith does. For he that cometh to God must do two things. He must believe that He is, and that means we've got to believe what the Bible said about Him, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The devil's always telling us it's not worth it to serve God. The devil always telling us that. Psalm 73 went through that crisis. Asaph did. Psalm 37, the writer, went through that crisis. And the devil always tries to assault God's children. And I don't know if you've ever been assaulted that way or not. But you young people need to listen to this. Because a lot of people say, well, it's not worth it to serve God. It kind of puts a damper on you to serve God. But we believe He's a good rewarder. We believe He's a tremendous rewarder. He doesn't always give the kind of rewards we might want, but He gives rewards much better than that. He knows what we really need. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Isn't that a good definition? Now let's look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now I'm going to spend a little time on verse 1. And y'all, this is a great verse. I hope I can do a little bit of I could hope I can do justice to it. I said this to Timothy today, and he liked it. We're riding in the car, so Timothy, write that down, don't forget about it. Let me read verse 1, I'm going to tell you what faith does. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to look at that word substance in a minute, the word evidence. But think about that a minute, run through your mind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And here's what I said faith does is true. Now, I want you to get this. I'm going to underline a word here. You'll see I'll underline because I may raise my voice a little bit. Faith, here's what faith does. Faith lays hold of reality. Now, let me say it loud. Reality. I'd kind of like to say it a little louder. Now, I may do it. My friend, faith lays hold of reality, realities, in fact, that are not observable by natural senses. That's what faith does. And you think, listen to what I got through saying. Faith lays hold of realities that are not observable by natural senses. You know what faith does? It's real out there. It's the only thing that really is real when you get right down to it. See, a worldly thinks that what they see is real. What we see is not really real. In a way, it's almost an illusion. But why do I say that? This world, friends, is going to burn up one of these days. See, a lot of people think, well, reality is a bank account. We think that Bill Gates, you couldn't bring Bill Gates down, $50 billion, $58 billion, something like that. That's just incomprehensible. We think about the Rock of Gibraltar. Think about anything else that seems to be solid, that the world thinks is solid. Think about the United States, a great power like the United States. That's what we think is real, but my friend, those things are not really real. They're not really real at all. The things that we cannot see, they're the realities. And you believe that because you've got to get to faith. You've never seen the after world. You've never seen the resurrection. Yet we go to a wedding, to funerals, and we preach about the resurrection, and people rejoice in that. People are comforted by that. So what faith does, faith lays hold of realities that are not observable by the natural senses. That's what faith does. Faith is the hope of things not, hope is the substance of things not hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me read you that word substance there. Get this. Faith is the substance. The word, one of the meanings of the Greek is that which has actual existence. My faith, you know, faith is a thing. It's a real thing here. See, the philosophical materialists believe that nothing exists except matter. That's what an atheist believes, or a philosophical materialist. Nothing exists but matter. But we believe the spirit world is more real than the world of matter. Isn't that amazing? It's a faculty we've got that God gives us. It's like a sixth sense that we've got. So the word substance means that which has actual existence. And evidence means conviction. That word means conviction. Only used two times in the New Testament. So you're convicted in your soul. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the conviction of things that are not seen. You know they exist. You're convicted that they exist in your heart. That's what faith is. Now let me read to you a few definitions here that I couldn't say it any better. I won't spend a lot of time doing this. But let me just read you a couple of things here that I got that I like a lot. One man said, the Word of God is the objective foundation on which my hope rests. That's the truth. See, I'm not a charismatic tonight. I don't manufacture something. See, charismatics have a wrong idea of faith. I've been to some charismatic services before where they think you can manufacture something by having faith. I can manufacture a new car. I can manufacture good health. I can make something come out of thin air if I have faith. That's not what faith does. What faith does is lay hold on the Word of God. So faith is my objective foundation. See? I mean, the Word of God is my objective foundation. So I like the way that the Word of God is the objective foundation on which my hopes rest. But faith provides a subjective foundation. It convinces me of the certainty of them. Let me read that sentence again. That's an important sentence. The Word of God is the objective foundation on which my hopes rest. But faith provides a subjective foundation, for it convinces me of the certainty of the things that I find in God's Word. Isn't that great? So the Word of God is what I base my faith on. But faith gives me conviction that what the Word of God says is true. All right. I like what Pink said about this. He said it comes from two Latin, the word substance. It comes from two Latin words, substans, meaning standing under. So here's what he says. Get this. I like this. Faith provides a firm standing ground while I await the fulfillment of God's promises. You can't beat that. Faith provides a firm standing ground while I await the fulfillment of God's promises. And then finally, before I get on here, get going, let me read you what Matthew Henry said. This is great. You can't beat this. Listen to this. Faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all He has promised to us in Christ. This persuasion is so strong, it gives a soul a kind of possession and present fruition of those things. It gives him a subsistence in the soul of the first fruits and foretaste of them, so that believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what he's saying? Even though we're not in heaven yet, we have a little bit of heaven right here. It's the same thing as the Bible talk. We have an inheritance. But brothers and sisters, listen, do you believe that inheritance is real? Do you believe that? An inheritance is real, isn't it? It's real. We have an inheritance waiting for us. Well, if the inheritance is real, the earnest of that inheritance is also real. And right now, God says we have the earnest of our inheritance. So all the earnest of the inheritance is a little foretaste of the actual inheritance. We just don't have the fullness of our inheritance yet. Isn't that great? Do you agree with me on that? An inheritance is real, isn't it? An inheritance is real. We have an inheritance waiting for us. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. But God's Word says we right now have possessed the earnest of that inheritance. We've actually got part of heaven right now, what we really got. That's fantastic as far as I'm concerned. Now let me go ahead and talk about these verses just a little bit. We won't spend too much time. I'll spend a little bit of time. Let me say, first of all, those of you who go through Hebrews 11, people are in all kind of varying circumstances. Some of them look like they have an easy life. This is what we call a successful life. Some of them, it looks like they have disastrous type lives, difficult lives. Some of them, we don't even know their names. They died martyr's deaths. Some of them had to wander about in goatskins and they live in the cave and the ends of this earth. The Bible says, of whom the world is not worthy. Some of them are tortured to death. God, some of them are sawn asunder. But some of them had gloriously successful lives. But my friend, they all walk by faith. So here's what I get out of that. We don't know what we're going to face before we die. God had got a custom-made life for us to live. I'm not saying that everything just fixed to that same sense. What I mean is, though, God Almighty, my friend, some people die young like Laura did. Some people live old. Some people have good health for a long time. Some people don't. God's the one who decides what our life's going to be like. But we ought to say, God, I'd like to live the kind of life, whatever you want me to live. We ought to say like Paul did. He said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body, for it be my life or my death. So we ought to all say that. We'll say, Lord, the number one thing for me is that I glorify you. Nell said that today, except Nell did. She said, you know, I don't like this Parkinson's. Timothy can probably tell her better than I can what she said. But she said, if this glorifies God, I'm willing to go through it. If I can go through this in such a way that God glorified, I'm willing to go through it. Accepting what God Almighty, my friend, had allowed to come into her life. I think that's a wonderful attitude. Let's go ahead and read a little bit now. So people have different circumstances in Hebrew, but they all walk by faith. Let's look at these first three verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a real thing. We have substance there. In fact, you have to excuse me to keep going to the scriptures. I can't have it. I could have it, but I ain't going to have it. I'm going to read one more. Stay here in Hebrews 11. I've got to go to another one right now, what's on my mind. I'm going to show you that faith is real. It's not just some kind of ephemeral. The things that faith lays hold on are real. Look over in 2 Corinthians. You've heard me quote this lots of times. One of my favorite scriptures. Let's look in the last few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have a hard time sometimes. In fact, we do in life. Everybody has a hard life to some degree. Man is born of woman, a few days are full of trouble, Job says. Look what he said in verse 16. I'm going to read down a couple of verses. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, sometime we might tend to faint, right? Some of us who are not going through a lot of trouble right now might kind of not get much out of that verse, but people who are going through a lot of trouble can get that. I just wonder if I can make it. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and sometimes they seem awful heavy to us, he's looking at it through God's viewpoint. For as far as God's concerned, it's a light affliction, but as far as we're concerned, it may be a very heavy affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and they may seem a long time to us, but as far as God's concerned, it's just a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at this last verse. While we look, how are you going to look? By the eye of faith. By the eye of faith. While we look, not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are what? Temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Let me ask you a question. Where's real reality then? Where's real reality? Let me read that last verse again. You tell me where real reality is. What genuine reality? The things I can observe with my physical senses? Or is it something that I can't even see right now, but I believe exists with all my soul? What's really real? Where's the real reality? What lasts forever? What lasts forever? You know what, friends? Faith has an effect on the way you live. An individual who has faith and believes in God's promises and believes in what God says, it's going to affect the way they live. If I'm living in this world right here, who God is in their belly, because they have no faith. But God people don't live that way. Now, we're not perfect, and we're disobedient sometimes, but I'm telling you, we can't live the way an individual lives who doesn't believe what God's Word says. It can affect the way we live. So again, let me get that verse one more time. For we look not at the things that are seen. The things that are not seen, things that are seen are temporal. They're limited by time. Things that are not seen, they're eternal. All right, now finally back to Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Who do you think they got a good report from? Well, you look at these people down in Hebrews 11, you'll find out who they got it from. They got it from God. So we got to remember that, too. Because God's children are not going to always be popular. They're very seldom popular. Christ himself had a few periods of popularity in his earthly ministry, but they didn't last very long. So we need to get God a good report. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. And now I love verse 3. Through faith, we understand the world for frame of the Word of God. Now, we believe that because we believe what the Bible. Why do we believe that, by the way? Let me ask you a question. Why do we believe? Let me quote this verse, and I'm going to ask you why you believe this. Through faith, we understand the world for frame of the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now, that means that God made everything out of nothing, what that means. That right there denies the philosophical materialist who believes that matter is eternal. So at one time, there was nothing. That's incomprehensible to us. Not even space, nothing. No matter, no nothing. Just God at one time. And so this verse says, through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the Word of God, so things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now, I know you believe that, but why do you believe that? You believe it because you believe Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. That's why you believe it. Chapter 1 and 2 especially, because that's what we're talking about the creation. You believe that because you're a child of God, and you believe God's Word. Now, we thank God for all the work that's done by creation scientists. And it helps to strengthen our faith, maybe. And it makes it add a little clarity to it. But that's not really why we believe that. We believe it because God's Word says He made this world in 6 days. And we believe He did that because God said He did. And so we believe that we have the gift of faith. So through faith, we understand the worlds were framed, the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And I could go on, but I'm not going to. I hope that you'll lay hold and get the point, mainly. Faith is really something real. I think sometimes we think it's just an emotion. It's not an emotion. It has some emotional aspect to it. My friend, faith is not an emotion. It's a real thing you have in your heart. It's something real. It's something really in there. It's an entity. It's a substance. It had real existence. And the conviction part, the evidence, is we're convicted what God's Word said is true. It's not just something intellectually. We say, well, you know, the Bible truth. We get enthused about it. We lay hold on it. It affects the way we live. It's a great thing to have the gifts of faith.